Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Glad you can be here. This has been a week to remember. Now, you need to know this program is obviously sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinic, not the Longevity Political Action
Committee.
But I just can't help it. Yes, we're here to talk about medicine, but yeah. I think it's appropriate to at least say and to let you vent just a little bit because you have some good things. I know I told you before we're not going to do this, but
that's right.
To heck with it. To heck with it. We're going to talk about the vaccine. There's some good things, strange things, wonderful things happening. We're going to talk about medicine, for a couple hours here, but, you have some things that you just wanted to share. And, I think you ought to, because a lot of people are hyperventilating even as we speak about what's going on in this country. It will affect their health. I mean, let's tie it in that way. We have people that are anxious, they're worried, they're dealing with fear at a level they've not experienced before.
The woman who got shot in the neck in the Capitol
building. Yeah, that's right. And so we're just here to calm us down, but at the same time, we have a serious issue at our
hands. We have a very serious issue on our hands. I am wont from time to time to comment on news articles that I see online.
Sure.
And I saw one on Fox News recently where they were, you know, talking about the demonstrations in the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And the person was saying, you know, that this is disgraceful and unacceptable. And down in the comment column, I put a blurb of my own, and I said, you know, to quote Barack Obama, elections have consequences, but it should be noted that fraudulent elections have even bigger consequences.
Freaking true.
And, you know, that tens of millions of Americans saw what happened, and no amount of telling them they didn't see what they saw is going to work. What we're seeing now is the beginning. And it's going to grow and grow and grow and grow.
You know, I received Wednesday afternoon, I received a text from a friend who was there. And he said, it was a fabulous event today. Don't believe the media about what they said happened. They are lying. His wife, he mentions her name. And I have had a superb time. Met faith-filled patriots from all across the country. Please tell everyone to ignore mainstream media. It ain't so true. Anyway, this is a serious time. I wish we had an hour or two. We could talk politics, and I'm sure we would be flooded with calls.
Let's do a podcast. Let's do a political podcast.
That's right. That's right. But unfortunately, there are people that tune in every Saturday.
And they expect to hear something about medicine?
How dare they?
Okay, let's cater to what they want then.
That's right.
So let's talk about COVID instead.
Well, I want to say one more thing.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, you political radical, you.
You risked your life. You shed blood. You've had 3 Purple Hearts. You are a patriot. You were willing to pay the ultimate price for this country. And I'm proud of you for your passion. And I share it. we are in trouble in this country, no matter what side of the ledger you're on listening today. We are in trouble because we are a divided nation.
Yep.
And you know me, I think we need to head back toward some basic principles of right and wrong and biblical principles to help run this country. But the bottom line is we are a divided country, and we all need to work very hard at standing for truth boldly and with integrity. So with that said, we need to talk a little bit about medicine. So
let's do that.
Obviously, I want to do some traveling again here relatively soon.
So do I. So I want my vaccine.
And I want my vaccine. I'm tired of taking these tests every time I want to get on a plane or go to Hawaii or what have you. So tell us, where are we?
Well, in 4 days this past week, we added 1 million cases in America.
Mm.
250,000 cases a day and accelerating.
It's still accelerating.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So that's the bad news.
And the more virulent strain is now spreading into different. Maybe it's been here a while. Maybe we weren't checking for it, but now we're checking for it, so we're finding it.
We've got a 7.1.1.7, I think it is. It's something along those lines. Anyway, it's a new version. It does not appear to be any more dangerous than the others. And in fact, it seems to have a predilection for younger people. Instead of the old folks that are going to die, it tends to infect people in their 20s and down, and they are the ones most likely to recover. So it's, you know, it's a mixed blessing or a mixed curse, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It spreads more easily. It is younger people, but it doesn't appear to be any more dangerous than the other forms.
Okay.
So that's the good news. It also would appear, at least thus far, that the vaccines will cover it just as well as they do the older strains.
Mm-hmm.
The mutations do not impact those protein groups on the spike that the vaccines are designed to hit.
Right.
So that's all good news.
Yeah.
What we need now is to get our governors off their lazy tushes and get the vaccine out into the communities so that people can start using it.
Right, right. That and other treatments too, right? You know, as you said, that this new strain is going to affect the younger people. They're on the bottom of the totem pole for vaccine reception anyways.
Yes.
But there are treatments for people who get affected and it's better to treat them out in the community before they become seriously sick and require hospitalizations.
That's right. And even the IV drugs, even things like the monoclonal antibody, can be administered at home.
That's exactly right.
You don't have to go to the hospital. An IV nurse can come out, plug in the catheter, run in a bottle in the course of an hour.
Right.
And leave.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and so that's probably the best way we will have to go around this. Jerry, you know, people should know that it's available so that they can start asking for it.
Yes.
So if they test positive and they are symptomatic and they're trying to prevent themselves from getting worse, you have to call your doctor and let them know that you're looking for passive immunity treatment, which is a monoclonal antibody treatment or the polyclonal antibody treatment.
Right.
They are available. Doctors do have them. The problem is...
Well, the hospitals have them.
Hospitals have them, and medical practices can get access to them.
Okay.
They have to ask for it, though. It is IV administered. And so the problem is people don't want infected people coming into their offices.
Precisely.
And so therein lies the big divide about, well, we have the drug, but how do we administer it? So one of the ways of looking at administering it is going to their homes and offering it to them in their homes rather than, you know, like we do in the cancer clinics, right? When they come for their IV chemotherapy, it's a bunch of them sit around and a nurse monitors several of them.
Sure.
We just can't do this in an outpatient setting because of the risk for infection.
Right. Although the good news is, you know, the vaccine administration to high-risk medical personnel.
Yes.
We have enough vaccine in the state.
We do.
that all of the high-risk medical personnel should have already been vaccinated.
Yeah, from my conversations amongst the community people and even in my patient population, several of them that are associated with other hospitals in whatever capacity have already been administered the first dose.
So the risk to the organizations, to the clinics and so on, is now minimal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So because the vaccinations have taken place. Now, it's going to take 10 days or so for the immunity to develop.
Sure.
So the day they get vaccinated, they are not immune.
Correct.
Okay. But within about 8 to 10 days, there is a 92% protection factor, even from just the first shot. And then you take that second shot in 3 weeks, and it boosts up to 95%. And we don't know what would have happened if you hadn't taken the second shot. Would that 92 have faded, or would it have stabilized?
True. And there's a lot of controversy about that in the medical literature, especially with England trying to decide to just see how people do with one vaccine only.
Yeah.
So, you know, will they develop immunity, or will they develop antibodies, or
resistance? Well, we know they develop immunity, and the illness, incidence of illness drops by 92%.
Mm-hmm.
After about a week or 10 days. That first week is when people are going to get infected. The question is, once you knock them down by 92%, does it stay down at 92% suppression for how long? We know that you're still down 3 weeks later when you take your second shot.
Mm-hmm.
If we put off that second shot for 6 months, mm-hmm. will you get that 92% protection all the way to the 6 months and then go to 95 when you get the second shot? We don't know.
Or will you now be resistant?
Yeah.
So we don't know, right? So
precisely.
Yeah, that has not been studied.
A problem with being cutting edge medicine on a whole society, mm-hmm. on a pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so. Yes.
Well, boy, I'm afraid we've got to go to some music here. And take
a break.
Quick break.
Okay.
It's just the way it is. We have to pay some of the bills. That's the way it is. And
I'd suggest we pay all the bills.
That's.
I'm kind of a perfectionist, I know.
That's right. Well, you've been doing it for 22 years, so I think it's going to happen.
Actually, I paid all my bills for 46 years of medical practice. So.
Wow. That's right. Hey, folks, don't go far. More Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon, the founder and chief medical officer of Longevity, and, of course, the assistant medical director, Dr. Samira Umat. You can't get this kind of talk anywhere else.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Leading Edge Medicine. For the first time in history, you can choose how to age.
When considering stem cell therapy, it only makes sense to consider the only doctor with over 30 years of legitimate experience in pain management that deals with stem cell therapy. And that's Dr. Dan Nelson with Pro Ortho. Listen to what a satisfied patient had to say.
I'm in my mid-70s, and I had had my left knee replaced. I just hated that whole process, and that motivated me not to do that again. It's time to get information about other alternatives, and I want people to know right from the beginning that I was so impressed by your staff, and so I got all my questions answered and was really guided very carefully, and that meant a lot to me. So I would say you are not taking any risk or losing anything by using this opportunity of contemporary medicine.
And comparing one to the other on a scale of 1 to 10?
I would say the stem cells a 10, the knee replacement to me like a 3. And it's a miracle, really.
You should consider stem cell therapy, but call someone with experience. Dr. Dan Nelson with Pro Ortho in Kirkland, 425-823-4000, 425-823-4000.
I also want to say how much I appreciate this program. It's just really valuable. I think people who aren't calling are just sitting there stunned by the information or anything else.
On a day like today, we pass the time away, writing love letters in the sand.
You know, I asked Pat The last time I was with him, I said, how many people do you think have written I love you in the sand? And he says, you have no idea how many letters he's gotten about that. I've written it. I've written it to Vicky probably 5-10 times over the years. I've written it to my grandkids. Not that that's what Pat was singing about, but still, that is that's why it was his number one hit.
I've written it in both English and Mandarin.
Oh, well. That's right. You have, haven't
that's
you?
Right. That's right. Listen, before the break, you guys were really on a roll, and I know you've got just a little bit more you want to say about
the
vaccine and stuff. Yeah. So let's finish that up before we take some
One time. Of the things we're getting is a lot of interest in, you know, when are we going to start giving the vaccine to our patients? Because our patient population tends to be older, and as a consequence of their being over 50, at higher risk of the disease. And the question, the answer is, we don't know. We're trying. I applied for the state a little over a week ago. I just got finally an email back from them. And they are asking me for some information that they want photographs inside and outside of our storage facilities, along with 1, 5, and 14 day records of the hour to hour temperatures within the refrigerators or freezers.
Oh boy, they're getting serious about this.
Well, and that makes sense if you're doing this super cold Pfizer version that has to be 180 degrees below zero. And the only place we have that has that kind of low temperature with a built-in graphic recording device is up in Linwood, where we run our laboratory. Mm. The other two clinics don't have anything that fancy.
Right.
They have no use for it.
Yeah.
And so I'm sent emails back to the state in consequence and said, we don't need the Pfizer vaccine because that's 975 doses at a minimum. You know, we only need about 100 doses per week per clinic. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. the most we have the time to administer. But mm-hmm. in a month, we'd be able to do basically our whole population that's at risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Moderna version is supposed to be stable in a regular commercial refrigerator freezer. So I sent him a note back and said, I don't want the Pfizer version. I only need the Moderna version.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm happy to send you pictures of my refrigerator freezer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have in the built-in recording stuff. So once more, I'm going round and round with the state and trying to figure out, you know, when and if we're going to be able to get the vaccine so that we can give it to our people.
Right. Yeah, in the meantime, you know, my advice is to stay in touch with your primary medical providers mm-hmm. and make sure that they know that you are interested in getting the vaccine so they can help direct you. There are clinics outside. You know, we all know that the big centers are providing the vaccine to their staff who are treating and managing COVID patients, and allied health physicians and others are getting the vaccine. So it is out there, but please let your providers know so that they can direct you to the right places. And as more and more in the population open up, then more accessibility will be there. And I'm also hearing rumors about maybe the pharmacies trying to administer it at some point in time. So we don't know when that'll happen.
Yeah, in fact, I know that CVS and Walgreens have contracted with the federal government to administer it.
Right.
But once more, that's going to be on a state by state, and it's up to the governor of the state to decide when they want to open that up to the pharmacies within their state. I know that in Florida, the health departments have been making announcements for over a week that anybody over 65 should contact the health department and make an appointment to come get their vaccine. The consequence of that, of course, was they got totally overwhelmed.
They did, yeah.
Their phone system crashed. Their internet system crashed because, you know, they got 35 million people with the largest population of elderly in the whole country in Florida. And they all wanted the vaccine.
Yeah, and we saw those lines on TV, right?
Well, and it turns out they only had 5,000 doses available that week.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, yeah, you got, you know, about 25 million people who qualify, and you got 5,000 doses. Duh. Not going to work well, guys. So, oh, well.
Are they going to give us some sort of ID or verification that we've had the shot?
Yes.
Well, they are?
Yes.
They do that now?
Yes, they do. Yeah, every time you get an immunization, you are part of a protocol, a record, and the Department of Health knows, and you have to confirm with them on a regular basis about symptoms.
And what's the latest as it relates to how long?
But I think what he's asking is, do you get an ID card you can carry in your wallet?
Yes, you do.
To get on the airplane and say, look, I've been immunized.
Oh, that I don't know how far we've gotten along with that. But you do get an ID card, yes.
Okay.
With the immunization record on it.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yes.
So I can take that to
airport. But you know, with the situation the way it is right now, nobody knows if that'll qualify to you on the flight or not.
Yeah, like you said, every state is different. Hawaii is weird.
Yeah. And airlines are private organizations, and they make their own rules.
That's right.
That's right.
And they're all different.
That's right.
They're all different. Believe me, I know. Okay. Well, with that, I think we've got time for a quick call.
Let us go to Terry in Montlake Terrace. Terry, welcome to the show.
Hello, Terry.
Thank you. As both of you know, I've been following the work of cardiologist Sinatra and Roberts.
Oh, sure.
And they use a particular form of phosphatidylcholine to peel away the plaque buildup in arterial walls. And I've come across a controversy apparently in this arena from the plant-based community that says that those of us who consume animal products that contain choline and carnitine basically feed a set of microbes in the gut that produces enzyme TMAO that Cleveland Clinic has associated with elevated risk of CVD and plaque buildup.
Mm-hmm.
So, the one study I read on it, it wasn't convincing. It was an animal model. The conclusions didn't follow from the data, and the authors had financial and competing interests. But so, what's the deal with this? I mean, what's the
phosphatidyl? Well, the phosphatidylcholine is phosphatidylcholine, no matter where you get it. Right.
Yeah.
The question is, are there something, you know, like? I'm trying to remember now what we are calling these nanobacterium, that we're not sure if they are really alive or not. And the data is contradictory. For those of you, I see a quizzical look or two on my face.
Nobody knows what you're all talking about. So
all right.
Let me try to make it interesting here. Please.
All right. Well, let me go back to Albert Einstein's comment is that if you can't explain it to a third grader, you don't understand it very well yourself.
That's right.
All right. So let me see if I can demonstrate that maybe I understand some of this. Life fills virtually every niche. Okay. We have macroorganisms like us, cows, dogs, cats, etc. We have microorganisms such as bacteria. We have very small organisms such as viruses. We have even tinier organisms that are basically viruses for viruses we call prions or prions. But there is a big gap between the smallest bacteria and the largest viruses. And for a long time, we believed there was nothing within that gap. Okay. Well, about 20 years ago, somebody came up with what they postulated as an organ they referred to as a nanobacterium. These are organisms much smaller than bacteria, but much larger than viruses. And we can't grow them. But they seem to be self-assembling. If you put the constituent parts together in a beaker and shake them up, these little critters organize themselves and come into being, which is kind of amazing. And these nanobacteria have been isolated in the center of plaques, atherosclerotic plaques in the blood vessels and in the hearts and in the brains. And these are mostly studies that have been done on autopsies, when people die and you go in and you look at their plaque and you do tiny sections and you do electron scanning microscopes of the plaque, you find in the center of many of these plaques these little nanobacteria. Mm. Now, the question is, how did they get there? Where did they come from?
What did they do?
And so what?
What did they do? Yeah. Are they the cause? Are they an effect? Are they formed because of the plaque? Do they cause the plaque? Do they,
yeah. You know?
So we got a whole lot of questions about these. Now, there is what I think is to a large extent a political debate and that Terry is discussing. The vegan community says these are caused from eating animals.
Okay. All right.
You damn foolish carnivores.
Okay.
You're getting your just desserts. All right. If you were just eating, you know, plants, right, this wouldn't happen to you. All right. Except for the fact that sometimes people who eat plants die too.
Really?
I don't know a single immortal vegan. In fact, most vegetarians do not strike me as strong, robust human beings. I see these little, tiny, puny people that I could lift with either hand who tell me how much healthier they are than I am. So, you know, I'm an omnivore. If it don't eat me, I eat it. It's real simple. So anyway, that's the debate. Where are these nanobacteria coming from? And how do we get them? And what do we do about them? And if they're not really alive, how do we kill them? And there are a variety of postulated therapeutic regimens, usually involving erythromycin and tetracyclines of some sort, that are supposed to abolish these little critters. Mm. But not all of those studies are reproducible by other people. And so I don't know. Okay. I know nanobacteria are there, whether they're really alive or not, and are they our pathogens, or are they the result of our pathology, I can't swear to either way. Terry, does that help you? Probably not.
Basically, if Sinatra and Roberts are right, their protocol, it wouldn't matter where these came from, because it
Precisely.
Would attach to the cholesterol, pull it out, and let it be recycled through the liver. So it's
yes.
like, so what?
Yeah, and the goal, of course, is to remove the plaque.
Yeah.
To get that non-calcified, soft plaque that is at risk of rupturing and causing your heart attack or your stroke to go away.
And with that in mind, unfortunately, because we were so late the last time, we got to go to another break. But that at least became interesting eventually.
Eventually. See, okay.
I
listen to Albert Einstein.
That's right.
He's my favorite philosopher.
You calling me as brilliant as a third grader?
Well, maybe.
Okay.
No, he's calling himself as brilliant as
okay.
a third grader.
And when you hear the music, you know, we got to go to a break. I'm sorry, nothing I can do about it. But don't go far. Oh, and don't forget, if you want to make one of our free health analysis appointments, never been a better time to do it. Actually, you can do it 24/7, but you can do it now. Go to lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. Push the schedule now button, and boom, you can be done with it in 3 minutes, maybe less. We'll be back.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Yes, it's a very good thing that Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon both suggest you see Dr. Michael Gilbert for your vision care. But maybe you should hear from one of Dr. Gilbert's very newest patients, like Bonnie.
What impressed me is that they're extremely professional, high-tech. I was there getting different tests and so forth. And I was extremely impressed, because I've been to another ophthalmologist, and to tell you the truth, it was old school. And all of his staff, they treat you well. You just feel like you're at a party. You just feel comfortable. It was just awesome.
just like at Longevity Medical Clinic at Northwest Vision Institute, Dr. Michael Gilbert is also on the leading edge of medical care. LASIK and cataract surgery, general checkups, and eye care at its very best. Call to schedule your appointment at 425-450-2020 or schedule online at nwvision.com.
Longevity Medical Clinic is happy to announce that Longevity Development, the business and marketing arm of Longevity Medical Clinic, has entered a strategic management relationship with Paramount Pharmacy. As a medical clinic, we cannot tell anyone where they have to go to fill their compounded prescriptions. We can only make suggestions. But for the last 2 years, we have referred our patients to Paramount Pharmacy for three key reasons. Excellent quality control, excellent pricing, and excellent customer service. And now, due to our new management oversight and relationship, Longevity Development and Paramount are actually working together to better serve our patients. A team approach to better healthcare. It truly can make a difference. And now, to celebrate and to convince you that we truly feel we can better serve your health needs while saving you money, Paramount has agreed to make an offer to all new patients willing to give Paramount a try. On your first prescription only, Paramount is offering you a 90-day supply for their 30-day cost. That's right, a 90-day prescription for the 30-day cost. All you need to do is call Paramount at 425-251-1660. It's as simple as that. Call 425-251-1660.
Do my friends notice anything different about me since I've been on Longevity? You bet they do. They ask me all the time, where do you get that energy and zest for life? And I tell them, Longevity.
In every other song that I've heard lately, some fellow gets shot, and his baby and his best friend both die with him, as likely as not. In half of the other songs, some cats cry, are ready to die. We've lost most all of our happy people, and I'm wondering why. Let's think about living.
Oh, I love this.
Let's think about loving.
Oh, yes.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about
Hey, welcome back. Pete Talbot here. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine today again with this guy here, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Just a quick comment I want to make. We're going to take some calls. We talk about no longer doing seminars. Yeah, we may be doing a seminar or two down the track, but they'll probably be featured. But for those of you who want more information about longevity, you can go to our website. There's some really, really good videos on there that we've created over the years and some very recently. Go to lmclinic.com. And right there on the homepage, you'll see a list of videos, actually webinars that are now slash videos. For example, the introduction to longevity. It's wonderful. The who, what, why, where, and when of, you know, what goes on at Longevity Medical Clinic. There's the two stages of life. Oh, that is excellent. There's videos on sexuality, all kinds of good stuff there. I encourage you to do that. I really do. It's fascinating. Spend some time on our website, lmclinic.com. It can make a difference in your aging process just by watching the video. Very encouraging. And with that, let's take another call.
Let's go to Sandy in Tacoma. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Good morning. I'm calling actually regarding a question my husband has. We're both patients at Longevity. He started about 18 months ago, about the same time he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. His initial labs that were done showed that he had a high red blood count and high hemoglobin. And that has steadily dropped until the last one lab's done in January. He came up with a ferritin test that was 833. The normal range apparently is between 30 and 400. Mm-hmm. His doctor at Longevity obviously said to check with his primary physician, and he hasn't been able to get into him. Doing a little bit of research on the internet, it talked about iron, surplus of iron storage, I guess, could affect those levels. But he has been on a multivitamin for women, just because that's something we both took through the years, women with iron, a multivitamin, and it's 36 milligrams per day. Could that be affecting that ferritin high level?
Yes. Yeah, because you know, usually the women's vitamins are designed for younger menstruating women. And
right.
You know, women bleed each month. They lose blood. They need to make new blood. Men don't usually lose much blood. And so for us to be taking an iron supplement is not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, that's why longevity doesn't have any supplements with iron in them. In fact,
our
women, younger women who need them, we order them separately. Can I ask you a question? Was this the first time his ferritin level was measured?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so we don't have any previous readings.
No, that was a baseline.
Okay. Whenever we see an elevated ferritin, the first thing we want to do is repeat the test. Because nothing done to or by human beings is perfect. And it would be unusual for him to come down with an iron storage disease at his point in life. So the first thing I always think of in a midlife man with a high ferritin is, was this a lab blip? We know that statistically, if you do 20 tests on a healthy person, at least one of them will be in the abnormal range. All right. That's just the way the world works. So step one, if you don't have symptoms in the patient, repeat the test.
Okay. Now, he checked along last time he was at Longevity. You don't have a multivitamin per se, do you?
We have the essentials. Longevity essentials are 6 different pills, though, and none of them have iron in them. So this, it includes vitamin C, antioxidants, calcium, minerals, vitamin E, and the omega fish oils.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, then I think the first thing we need to do is get off of the, I mean, we're both in our 70s, so probably I don't need the iron anymore as well. But
no, you don't.
Just get on a regular multivitamin, then without iron.
Yep.
So I guess everything that's gone down in the last 18 months, some of them now, the red blood count, the hemocrit, the hemoglobin, are down in the red range. So what would be causing that?
Well, your question then is he not making new red blood cells, or is he losing blood? Now, there's a couple of different possibilities. In a man in his 70s that is dropping his hematocrit, we worry about his colon.
But he has prostate cancer, too.
Yes,
right?
He has a chronic disease. Yeah.
Which could be causing anemia of chronic disease.
It can be.
Yeah.
But again, the indices on the CBC should be different than if he's not, or if he's losing blood.
Sure.
So the question is to look at his CBC. We want to see, does he have small, pale blood cells, in which case he may be losing blood. If he's just got normal size, but he's just not making new blood cells, well, that'll be a different issue. We have something called, that Dr. Umat has brought up, called the anemia of chronic disease. And it's especially common in people with cancers of almost any form, in which their body just says, hey, I'm sick, I'm not doing well, and they just ramp down their blood production. The other thing, though, that I always worry about in anyone over 50, a man over 50 losing blood somewhere, is where is he losing it? Does he have a diverticulosis? Does he have a colon cancer? One of the truisms of medicine is that cancer formers form cancers. People who have one cancer are at high risk of a second cancer. So you always want to be especially cautious and investigate anybody with one cancer. Always make sure you're looking for others. Okay. You have people with one cardiovascular issue also frequently have two or three of them. So this is something that needs to be worked up. If he has not had a colonoscopy, get him into a gastroenterologist, get his colonoscopy done. Everybody in his age group should have had one within the last 5 years or so.
Last one was 2 years ago, but probably a more recent one is advised.
Well,
it depends on what they found.
Depends on what they found. You know, was it totally clear? Did he have polyps? Was there diverticulosis?
Yeah, he's on the short list of, he has 3-year plan because of polyps. So.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yes. So again, if he's got polyps, that's one of the things we worry about. So yeah, get him back and get him looked at again. And have him do a stool for occult blood just to see if he's leaking into his gut somewhere.
Or, definitely that is a good option, but also Cologuard. A lot of insurances now cover the Cologuard, so yep. You can ask if you can just do a stool analysis.
And that's a lot easier and cheaper than a colonoscopy. It's true.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
The company sends you a little box, and all you do is take a little bit of poop, you put it in the container, you send it back to them, and they check it looking for genetic markers from a tumor.
Okay.
So, okay.
Good. Well, those are great suggestions. I appreciate it. That was Cologuard, right?
Cologuard, yes. That's a great suggestion.
Your doctor has to prescribe it, right?
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You betcha.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, I promise this break will not be long. It will not be long, and we will be back with more calls and questions. Don't go far. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, sponsored, of course, by Longevity Medical Clinic.
If you or someone you love is struggling with memory issues, find out about Longevity Memory. Call Longevity right now to schedule your memory consultation evaluation. 425-654-0258.
That's 425-654-0258.
Did you know coffee is the number two commodity in the world, only behind oil is number one? That's right. And with everyone staying at home as much as we are right now due to the pandemic, people are drinking more coffee than ever before. And Camino Island Coffee is the very best of the very best. Organic Arabica beans, fairly traded, of course, grown at high altitudes and in the shade, which makes all the difference in the world, with incredibly low acidity and flavor that is simply outstanding. And here's a special longevity offer for you. If you consider yourself a coffee connoisseur, or you simply want the very best cup of coffee available, try a full pound of Camino Island coffee for 99 cents. That's right, just 99 cents. You will taste the difference in your very first cup. A full pound for only 99 cents. Simply go to CaminoIslandCoffee.com/longevity. CaminoIslandCoffee.com/longevity.
Hey, my wife and I are patients of yours for probably 12 years or so. I really appreciate all you guys do. We really do. Comes from my wife, too, because she just loves Dr. Umet. You know, they talk about everything. But thank you very much, and you guys have a great weekend.
Klein does not want you folks falling to pieces.
No, but she did it so beautifully.
I loved her. I love her as much now. Yes. Patsy Klein, Etta James, some of these singers from the 50s and 60s. My gosh, they bring me just emotional joy. Anyway, we had someone didn't want to go on the air. Mm-hmm. Ask a question about prostatitis, and they wanted to know, could coffee be a participant in his problems.
Let me start by making a correction. It's okay. Prostatitis.
Oh, of course it is.
You left a T out.
Yes, yes. A T-I. I left the T-I out.
That's right.
That's right.
Drinking too much coffee?
Not today. I forgot to bring some in here.
I've got my pear green tea.
Yeah, see, you're curing it. He doesn't have the problem, and I'm drinking the coffee. What's with all of this?
You don't have a prostate. We have to worry about it.
Well, all I know, can we take a break now? I have to go potty. Here we go.
All right. Prostatitis. As we were just alluding to, the ladies don't have a prostate. It is a gland that is unique to men.
Jerry, I got to remind you, it was like 20 years ago, we were talking about prostate issues, and the lady called us on the air, and she says, I'm sorry, I don't know where my prostate
is. It is, yes, you're right.
So it's
really
important. Oh,
yes.
Oh, we didn't laugh at her.
But it caught us up short because we had not thought of the fact, we all know that only men have a prostate.
Uh-huh.
But, not all women know that. I mean, teaching of human biology in American schools is an abomination.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't teach human physiology or an anatomy in this country.
Just one of many things. That's why we're 27th or 36th or something in the
36th
world.
36th on science.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
That
irritates me. That in the 1950s we were number one in math and science. By the 1970s we had dropped to like eighth or ninth in science and like 12th or 13th in math, and now we're like 25th in math and 36th in science in the world. Yeah, so, I mean...
All right. You're bumming me out, boy.
Yeah.
Lots to be bummed out.
Because math
today.
And science is where the future lies.
Mm.
So, more than ever.
Yeah.
Well, it's always been, but more than ever, it's obvious.
Let's return to prostatitis, shall we?
Yeah.
Prostate is an organ, a gland, at the base of the bladder, surrounds the urethra, the little tube that carries the urine, out of the bladder, down through the penis, and allows the man to urinate. And that prostate is quite small and firm, and it has a very distinct function. Its job is to produce enzymes that will dissolve the mucus barrier at a woman's cervix so that the sperm can get out of the vagina into the uterus and up into the tubes where they can fertilize the egg. The prostate also provides nutrients, sugars and proteins and nutrients that allow that sperm to stay alive for up to 3 days while it's waiting for an egg to come by.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, the prostate is a very important reproductive gland. It also has an immune component that allows it to fight infections because you are sending, you're having intercourse, you're sending things into that very non-sterile vagina, and from there it's going to traverse up through the cervix into a sterile area, the uterus and tubes. So you need effectively chemical antibiotics, if you will, sterilizing immune agents, to prevent the woman from getting infected every time she has intercourse. So it's a very complex and very important gland. however, because it is exposed to the outside world through two different routes. One, bugs and critters can come up from the penis to the prostate or down from the bladder to the prostate. Or in a third way, through the bloodstream into the prostate. And this is a gland that is full of sugars and nutrients. And so whether it's a bacteria, a virus, an L-form, almost any bad critter that gets in there has a wonderful environment in which to grow.
Thrive, yes.
And so prostatitis, that is infections and inflammation of the prostate, is a fairly common issue in men.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's what we're talking about. There are infectious prostatitis mm-hmm. with bacteria. There are prostatitis triggered by viruses. There are prostatitis triggered by L forms. And then there's a fair bit of prostatitis that we just don't know a reason for. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just kind of idiopathic. We don't know.
Right.
And it turns out that one of the ways that you can get an inflamed prostate is an overload of caffeine.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Caffeine is a mixed vasodilator, vasoconstrictor. It dilates some blood vessels, it tightens down others, but apparently it sets up the prostate for inflammation.
It does. And remember, caffeine doesn't just mean coffee. It means also some forms of tea, sometimes mm-hmm. in some medications and drugs. So you have to be very careful and look for the total source of caffeine that you're getting and make sure you eliminate all of that. And medications, too.
Yes. Don't forget Red Bull.
Exactly.
Red Bull. Yeah.
5-hour energy.
So let me ask you, during the pandemic, Vicki and I, we didn't leave the house for quite a while there. It was a lot of time at home, like it was for everybody. I started drinking more coffee than I had ever done in the past. Uh-huh. I was drinking maybe 4 or 5 cups a day.
Yeah.
In the past, usually 1 every 2-3 days, maybe. So was that good or bad for me? I don't think I noticed anything.
Did you have
anything.
Pelvic pain?
Did you have
pain with urination or pain with intercourse or low back pain?
But some people might, is what you're saying?
Yes, some people might. Yeah. You know, everybody, human beings have an enormous wide variation in our ability to tolerate almost anything. And some folks are very sensitive and some folks are very resistant.
Yeah.
And, you know, doesn't take much caffeine to bother some guys.
Right.
And others can just almost bathe in the stuff and they do fine.
Okay. But also alcohol. Alcohol can also be a trigger for a prostatitis. So just for people to know if they're experiencing symptoms. Remember, the symptoms, as we said, are pain, pelvic pain, back pain, frequency, urgency, nighttime urination. They're also similar to prostate hypertrophy. So
yes.
BPH symptoms can mask prostatitis symptoms. Mm-hmm. The time to worry is if you're getting a fever or chills or you're noticing pus or blood in your urine. Then you shouldn't ignore that. That means it's an active infection and you need to go get treated and investigated.
Do you suppose there's a difference how it affects this area, the quality of the coffee?
I have no idea.
Okay.
No
idea. Just curious.
Anything written about that.
All right. Well, this is fascinating. This is good. So what should a person do? Just stop drinking coffee and the problem may go away.
Yes.
Right?
It may, but you want to find out why.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, mm-hmm. if you suspect you got a prostatitis, you need to go see your physician. They will probably do a digital rectal exam. Mm-hmm. They'll put a finger up your rectum and massage, you kind of squish on the prostate a bit mm-hmm. and try to collect a little bit of fluid mm-hmm. that he can push out of the prostate. Just a drop or two at the tip of the penis. And some of that he would send for cultures to see if anything bad is growing. And the other he would send to be examined under a microscope to see if he's seeing white blood cells indicating inflammatory or infectious processes, or can he see bacteria there? You know, they may do some Gram stains and so mm-hmm. on.
So bottom line, if this is happening to anyone listening right now, don't ignore it.
Don't ignore it. No. And reality, though, the most common prostatitis is not infectious.
Correct.
Okay. And the most common prostatitis is disuse. Men that are not having enough sex.
Really?
Yeah. This is an organ that's designed to be used. Okay. I mean, it's always producing the nutrients and the proteins and the enzymes and all the stuff. And that prostate is designed that for you to have sex and to pump all that stuff out. You know, up to 2/3 of your ejaculate is not sperm, it's prostate fluids. Okay. So when a man has an ejaculation, he's kicking out mostly prostatic fluids. And if he's not having sex on a regular basis, that stuff gets in there and it gets stagnant and he gets old, and he actually has an increased risk of infection. And back in, you know, in my youthful doctor days, that was part of our prescription. You know, we told him, we told our guys, you've got a prostatitis. We want you to be ejaculating at least once a day, every day, minimum.
For how long?
Till you feel better.
Interesting. This program is going to get downloaded a lot. I have a feeling. I can see the...
You have no idea how many guys ask me to put that in the form of a,
right.
in the form of a prescription for his wife.
Oh, my golly. Well, only at longevity will you get such a prescription. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. I've been producing this program for, what, 22 years now? Almost. Yeah, 22. And I never cease to be amazed at the benefits of being a patient. Vicki and I talk about it. It seems to be a weekly conversation about how glad we are we have you, Dr. Umed, because you're both my wife's doctor at Longevity and mine, and how grateful we are, because without this outside information and without the ability, I mean, you called just the other, well, 2 days ago, you mm-hmm. called and mm-hmm. you had a conversation with me and you had a conversation with Vicki.
Uh-huh.
She said, is that Samira? That's Samira. And so she grabbed you. Anyway, the benefits of having Longevity Medical Clinic are so staggering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an overstatement. The benefits are staggering. And this is why we are continuing. Here we are in a new year, a lot of crazy things going on in the economy and politics and, oh, my golly. But there's never been a better time. We said this last year, but it is so true still today. There's never been a better time to be a patient at Longevity, to do something about your health. Go outside the box, because if you're stuck in that box, you are at a complete disadvantage. This is why we're continuing on now. I think this is the beginning of our third year of doing the free health analysis appointments. Jerry, we haven't done seminars. Oh, my golly.
For a couple of years.
A couple of years.
Yeah. Actually, one of the marketing guys was talking to me a couple of days ago
mm-hmm.
and said he wants to start setting up at least a quarterly seminar.
Hmm.
Well,
interesting. And what standard, did you say to that?
Our standard seminar?
Well, that was my ask. What kind of seminar do you want me to do?
Well, we've talked about doing specialty seminars.
Yeah.
Like on exosomes and senescent cell therapy.
No, we talked about cruise seminars.
Oh, my God. I've got X number of thousands of dollars credit on Holland America because they kicked me off their cruise.
And I'm not anxious to get back on a cruise ship right now.
I'm not quite ready for that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line, folks, the free health analysis appointment is free. You get two free tests, the blood test, the amazing in-body test. And together with those two tests, which you get the results of right then and there, you are able to determine what some of your basic health risks are that you will not be able to determine unless you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as Jerry always says, I almost feel silly saying it again. If you don't measure, you don't know. So for crying out loud, let us measure for you.
Yeah. You know, in these stressful times, a lot of people are asking about how to manage stress and how to cope. And sleep disturbance, loss of sleep.
Oh,
and
yes.
There's so much that's going on. I mean, this sleep was an issue that was pivotal for just one of my patients. And all she wanted to know was, please help me sleep at night. She's just so engulfed with everything that's going on in and around her. That was a big deal. So, you know, healthy living and supporting your endocrine system with the right types of physiological hormones, and also then supporting your immune system with the right kind of nutrients, will make a big difference in how you manage what's happening in and around the environment. Right.
That's
now.
Right. And bottom line, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We got to go real quickly, but let me quickly say, don't procrastinate any longer. Let's make 2021 a transition year for you. Again, you can feel better this coming year than you felt in many years, like you hear all the time when customers or patients call in. You make your own appointment online. At least most of you will do that by going to lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. Push the schedule now button. It'll walk you through it. It'll take you 3 minutes. Just pick your appointment from the calendar that comes up. And yes, we will also give you $100 of free longevity supplements as well. Come on. This is so good. This is so good. You do it all at lmclinic.com. We're not going to take long. We'll be back for hour number two before you know it.